Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and this episode is the next in our Meet the Board series. In this episode, I speak with Dr. Michael Jelinek, professor of psychiatry and pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, about why he chose medicine, how the field has changed since his early days, and what he thinks the future may hold.
Okay, so Dr. Jelinek, why did you choose to go into medicine and specifically into the pediatric space?
Well, you know, I'm a psychiatrist, so you're asking me a very deep question here. I'll give you a psychiatric answer and then a pragmatic answer. The psychiatric answer is that my father was a primary care doctor, and he escaped from the Nazis and felt that if he wasn't a doctor, he would have been killed. But by being a doctor, they needed him for taking care of other prisoners. So when he was arrested and as he was fleeing Europe, his medical degree saved his life. I'm sure that had an unconscious influence on me. and that if your father is an excellent, beloved doctor in Manhattan, and he thinks that that saved his life, my guess is that got transmitted to me in a number of ways. So I wanted to be a doctor. Now, I guess, you know, sometimes the kids of plumbers want to be plumbers, or I don't know if the children of venture capitalists want to be venture capitalists, but in this case, I wanted to be a doctor. Over the summers of my college, I worked in a camp called Rainbow, which was a residential camp for children with emotional disorders. They were all in therapy. We had them for 8 weeks straight, and we lived with those kids in a small bunk. There were two counselors and six kids. We met their therapists. We met their parents on visiting day. We wrote reports describing their progress. I loved it. I really enjoyed working with those kids. And I decided that I was going to do pediatrics and most likely child psychiatry. Interestingly, when I told my father, who was, I think, thinking I would take over the primary care practice, that I wanted to be a psychiatrist, he was quite tolerant. He had grown up in Vienna, you know, at the time of Sigmund Freud and Anna Freud and all that. But he said, you know, if you do want to be a pediatrician, be a pediatrician first, because that'll ground you better than if you just do psychiatry and just see mentally ill children. So I had no problem with that. I kind of enjoyed the idea. So I did my pediatric training at Montefiore. And then I went to MGH, Mass General Hospital in Boston for adult psychiatry, and Boston Children's Hospital for child psychiatry. So I did three residencies. I got certified in all three specialties, and then went on to become chief of child psychiatry at Mass General. Interestingly, I rounded in pediatrics for 11 years as a pediatrician. So I did maintain my pediatric interest. And I rounded with excellent Mass General pediatric professors, Jack Crawford, who sometimes has been called the father of pediatric endocrinology, and Ron Kleiman, who's a nationally known expert in nutrition and GI disease. We co-rounded every July with the residents, and that allowed me to build a bridge between child psychiatry and pediatrics that's been sustained at MGH for now 40 years. So that's sort of the long answer to why I became a doctor.
Okay, so what's been the greatest change that you've seen in the field since you first started? And do you think it was a positive change or was it more negative?
The field has developed, I think, almost miraculously. One of my first patients, a little two-year-old named Brian, had leukemia. I was an intern, and nothing could be done. He died at age 2.5. It was tragic. My interest in psychiatry, I was very close to him and the family and the grieving process. They gave me a little gift that I still have on my desk now, almost 45 years later. So that was very meaningful to me. The progress that's been made in medical advances on leukemia, for example, where now the cure rates are 80, 90, 95%, is just spectacular. I wish mental health had progressed as far as those. We have made some progress. I think we're better at treating attention deficit. We're better at treating depression, although there's still a lot of adolescent depression that is very difficult to treat, CBT and anxiety. But the spectacular advances have been in the biochemistry of treating physical disease. It's very difficult, both whether it's a verbal therapy or a medication, to do the research in children and to prove efficacy. There's so many factors that influence a child's life, their family, the genetics, their schooling, their social class, poverty versus middle class versus wealth, ACEs, adverse circumstances they live in. We just did a study of using the PSC in an earthquake in Chile and trying to figure out where the kids in the exposed to the worst part of the earthquake in worse shape than the kids in the who weren't as exposed to the serious consequences of the earthquake. Because we had PSCs for the whole country and we could map out the effects of the earthquake in the whole country. Man, that's hard to do. And we found out that if there were serious illness in the family, that had an impact like the earthquake. If you had both a serious impact in the family and an earthquake, that's even worse. So it's very, very difficult to do this research in a definitive way. And I think it's until we have a better understanding of genetics and a better understanding of the brain, it's going to be very difficult to make the advances in mental health that I've seen in physical health. We actually don't even know the difference between depressed children. We call them depressed, but it could be mild. It could be suicidal. There could be a family history of depression. There could be a 17-year-old who broke up with their partner. It's all depression. But I don't believe that the brains of all those kids are identical in terms of how that depression is manifest in their neurochemistry. We have a lot of ways to go to get the field defined and then to see if we can define treatments that are better.
Okay, so what do you think the biggest myth about pediatrics is?
I think it's a, I love pediatrics. I must say, why did I go into child psychiatry? Why didn't I stay in pediatrics? My issue with pediatrics was that I wanted to get to know every child more deeply. And I felt the 15-minute or 20-minute appointment and seeing 20 different children a day and 20 different families a day, I found it repetitious, and I couldn't get the interest. I wanted to ask more questions. I wanted to get to know them better, and I had to move on to the next patient. When I did do primary care for a couple of years, soon everybody realized that I was a psychiatrist, and they sent me the most difficult children with eating disorders, severe depression. So I became a psychiatrist, but they weren't looking at my productivity or my salary. So they let me do it. But in typical pediatric practice, I think it's somewhat frustrating if you have that interest to practice routine pediatrics. And it takes a tremendous amount of energy and spirit to be enthusiastic 15 or 20 times a day, 5 days a week. I didn't have that. I can be enthusiastic 8 times. You know, if you give me an hour, kid, an hour of family, I'm very enthusiastic. I couldn't get that down to the pace of pediatric practice. And I think there may be some, I don't like the word burnout, but I think there may be some frustration, especially as pediatricians get older with that lifestyle or that pace of practice. And what I've encouraged many to do and have done some courses is it's a wonderful opportunity to deepen your psychosocial knowledge. Once you've got the routine pediatric care down pat and the routine chronic disease down pat, typically after 5 or 8 years of practice, pediatricians become much more interested in psychosocial issues. And there's an enormous opportunity for pediatricians to become even more expert in treating a wide range of emotional disorders that they would find, I think, very enriching and renewing their interest by going deeper into their practice.
So where do you think pediatrics will be in 5 years?
I think there's going to be 5, 10, 15 years, increasingly, we will be able to take better care of children. I think like leukemia, other diseases will give way to genetic and biochemical research. I think asthma will be more manageable. When I trained at Montefiore, sickle cell disease and asthma dominated. We had a whole 400 square foot space in the ER in the South Bronx, which had 20 kids in respiratory distress with asthma in that room 24 hours a day. We assigned an intern just to that room, walking around to look at the kids and try to treat their asthma. I think all of that's gradually going to be more manageable. I hope sickle cell gets a genetic treatment that's approved and cured. I think the field will continue to move towards psychosocial issues, not to the exclusion of good primary care, prevention, chronic disease management. But 5 years, 10 years, I think it's going to be chronic disease and psychosocial issues that will dominate pediatrics. Psychosocial issues are not going to lend themselves to the kind of advances that the other medical illnesses will. Given the complexities post-COVID, the death of hundreds of thousands of parents, issues of divorce, which are still high, the issues of adolescent depression, the complexities that we're going to have to adjust to with the internet and social media, I think we're in a churn that is going to leave a good 5 or 8 or 10% of kids needing something more than the family can give. I also think a lot will depend on what our culture does. If we don't take care of some of the adverse circumstances of housing, nutrition, education, racial disparities, poverty, we're going to be producing kids, children, and adolescents that are going to have problems. And the bell-shaped curve of emotional burden in our culture is going to move in the direction where more and more kids are going to be in trouble unless we address some of those deeper issues. And pediatricians are going to be on the front line of that. So I think that's where it's going. And there will not be enough psychiatrists or mental health professionals to deal with it all. They just won't.
Okay, so knowing everything that you do now about medicine and pediatrics and psychiatry, would you still go into pediatrics and psychiatry, and why would you make that choice?
Absolutely. I would not do straight pediatrics. I would do pediatrics, and I think it was a wonderful background. And I did consults to pediatricians for over 25 years in the intensive care units at Mass General. So it was very good that I was a pediatrician, and it built my credibility. And I would have not been able to develop the pediatric symptom checklist without a deep appreciation for pediatrics. So I have no regrets, and I would do that again. But I would not stay in pediatrics. I'm just built to listen to people in depth. and that's who I am. When I tell pediatricians that I, you know, will treat somebody for 2 or 3 years to get them out of a mess that they're in, they look at me like, I don't know if I could talk to somebody for 3 years. I can't not talk to somebody for 3 years. So I would definitely do it again. Now, I must say, my children did not choose medicine. Although I was home for dinner and I was a pretty good father, coached soccer, had a wonderful time with them. But they all have the same spirit. They all want to do good, and they're doing good in the law. One is a criminal defense attorney, does a lot of work with poor clients and the drug court. One is a very well-hearted policeman who does a lot of good with family situations, and one is a social worker prosecutor and is working very hard to figure out as a district attorney how she can help families and protect them when needed. So I'm very glad that they kind of chose the same interest in people and helping people. But if I were to do it again, I would be a psychiatrist. And I like children and I like adults, so I would be a child and adult psychiatrist.
Okay. And so are there any therapies that are in the drug pipeline that you are interested in or that you think hold significant promise for helping pediatric patients in the future?
I have to say I'm not an expert in the pipeline, so it's a hard question for me to answer. Currently with adults, there's a big interest in psychedelics, and they are looking at psychedelics to break through very intense, persistent depressions. That'll be very hard because of the issues I mentioned before to get to children. The research barriers of risk and harm in young brains using those chemicals are, it's going to be hard to overcome. You're going to have very, very good reason to try it. So I don't see tremendous breakthroughs until we understand basic physiology and neurophysiology better. The treatments that are coming out, even some of the antidepressants, they help. And when you look at the studies, they help, but they don't cure. We still have a long way to go. And I don't know of any particular breakthrough drug or treatment that is, you know, let's say imminent. It's still complex enough that it takes a very good pediatrician or a very good mental health person to sort things out and then and try them, which is one of the reasons why I still like doing it. I don't get as much excitement out of titrating a medication for diabetes or asthma, although it has a tremendous value, and I recognize that it's a critical thing to do, and there's some art to it, especially in convincing the patient to agree to whatever you're doing. But I'm on the agreement side. I'd like to talk to the family who's not compliant and understand why they're not compliant, rather than trying to titrate the medication for the compliant family. It's just my interest.
Thanks for listening to Small Talk. If you like us, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.